If any of you noticed that I stayed seated during that song, that's because I'm going to stand up for the next hour and 45 minutes, and you all are going to stay seated. No. It is always a blessing to be here at Port Lavaca. Many of you obviously are not sojourners, so you have no idea of how supportive of sojourners this particular congregation is. I've been on more than a couple, and David's been on more than me, and the Cattertons have probably been on more than both of us put together. And I think we would all agree that there's few congregations that come anywhere near the level of involvement that this church has.
Amen.
As far as feeding us, which is not a requirement, as far as coming to devotionals, as far as going out to knock doors with us. And we want you to know that it is our prayer that all of that time, effort, and energy you put into those good works accrues to your account, and that you will receive payment for that in the great beyond when you stand before God and he says, come on in, you are a good servant. Regarding the subjects for this evening's lesson, I didn't know quite how to take this lesson. I noticed the titles of all the lessons, every one of them was about the Bible, till mine. And it's kind of like, oh, the problems with social media. Let's give that to Gordon. But we're going to go with it. And I don't mean that to be a knock at all, because of this reason. Much of life is trying to figure out how the principles of Scripture apply to things that the Bible does not directly reference. And so, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1, in verse 9, that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, this is new? Already it has existed for ages which were before us. I believe that the writer of Ecclesiastes said this through the inspiration of God's Spirit. And then, therefore, we are faced with the task of figuring out how is the internet, and specifically social media, and boy, there's a lot of different kinds, isn't there? Facebook, MySpace, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, web blogs, email, texting. How has all of this already been spoken about in Scripture? The clue is in the name itself. Social media. They all deal with how it is that we interact with and communicate with people. And regarding that, the New Testament has a lot to say about how we're supposed to deal with our interactions with people. First of all, we're going to deal with some temptations of social media. One of the major temptations I think faced by many in the church is the desire to get on social media and rant and rave and moan and gripe and complain about things. The government, our neighbors, those in the world who don't like us. We'll save that one for the third. We're going to go through these one at a time. But brethren, I am deeply troubled by what I hear Christians say about Muslims. They are people that God loves, and we are supposed to be striving to take the gospel to them. Yes, they may desire to behead us. But I happen to remember that that's exactly what happened to Paul. And how about Peter that was crucified upside down? How about Jesus that was crucified as a sinless man? Jesus says, know that when they hate you, they hated me before they hated you. Now, we're going to get more into that in a little while. But first of all, regarding government, I dare say that in virtually every predominantly white congregation, there is an overwhelming number of Republicans. I was at a sojourn one time, and the preacher at the congregation drives up in his truck, Make America Greatest signs plastering the truck, Vote Trump, two American flags sticking out the back. I said, wow, brother, that's quite a display. He says, you think this is something you ought to see in my house? And he wasn't kidding. He sent me a picture that afternoon about his house. Picture of his house. On the other hand, as sojourners, oftentimes, in fact, when we leave here, we're going to go to Stuttgart, Arkansas, to a congregation, predominantly black congregation. I've never been in a predominantly black congregation where they did not think that Barack Obama was a wonderful president. The problem is when we get on the internet and we start spewing this stuff. Because I want you to listen to what the scripture says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king as supreme. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes to Titus, put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Render to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, plural. It's not just talking about the rulers of my nation, which is usually what we pray for. It's in the plural form. Because the next thing says, for kings and for all that are in our high places, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and sincerity. We are supposed to pray for the leaders of all nations, that all of them will act in such a way that we as Christians can carry out the commission which Jesus has given us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, I want you to remind you that when Paul writes this, he's talking about a guy who in just a few years is going to try to exterminate Christianity. Nero. Give honor to the person whom honor is due. Honor the king. Submit yourself to government. Christians should never get online and speak badly of any government official. That is not our job. Amen. Our job is to be in prayer for them. Our job is to support them, to try to get them to do the right thing, not to belittle them. One of the things that Jude talks about is those who rail at dignities. And when he speaks about it, he's not speaking positively about it. He's talking about the false teachers who have turned the grace of God into a license to sin. And they rail at things they do not understand. You know what? I don't say I understand it. But God had Barack Obama elected twice. God had Trump elected. Quit griping about it. Quit moaning about it. Quit wishing it was different. Be subject to the powers that be. Stay off the internet and sniping at government and authorities. Secondly, regarding my neighbors, the temptation is to talk about people who are idiots, morons, dolts, never seen the light of day, elevators don't go all the way to the top, fill in the blank, it just keeps it coming. But let's see what the scripture has to say. At different times in the Gospels, Jesus is recorded as saying that the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. In the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, so then as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good towards all the people that we like. That's not what it says. All the people that think just like me. That's not what it says. All the people who look just like me. That's not what it says. The church is not Groucho Marx. What do I mean by that? One of Groucho Marx's most famous lines is, I would not want to belong to any organization that would have me as a member. One of the things, subtle things we do, particularly when it comes to evangelism, is go around to people that live in my socioeconomic group, people that I feel comfortable with, people that I don't mind being in my church. When Jesus again said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, never pay back to anyone evil for evil. Respect that which is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That means let's not be on the internet, on Facebook, on Snapchat, stoking the fires of hatred, prejudice, bigotry, just like meism. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, one of the things that you hear is, if God says something once, that's it, right? Well, if he starts repeating himself, it's probably, really important. And so in the book of First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, see that no one repays to another evil for evil, but always seek that which is good for one another and for all people. That's what the whole story of the Good Samaritan is about. Not being a closed-minded bigot. Thirdly, this is where it really becomes tough. Already mentioned this one. Regarding those that hate me. I have more than one friend who you can count on 2 to 3 times a week, you're going to get an email from this guy that he sent to everybody in the world. I mean, you look at the length of people he sent it to. With negative things to say about those who may be of some different religion. Particularly, that's typically what it is. But I want to read what the Bible says. Jesus, Luke chapter 6. But I say to you that will listen, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever would smack you on one cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone that asks of you. I know churches. I've been part of churches. Somebody comes, knocks on the door. Oh, they're just looking for money. Yeah, that's exactly what they're looking for. That's their problem, not yours. What does the Bible say? Give to all who ask of you. And whoever takes away something that's yours, don't demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those that love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners will do the same. And if you lend from those who you expect to receive payment back, what credit is that to you? Even a sinner will lend to a sinner in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself, here comes the kicker, he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil people. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's such a high standard. And God knows that. Love your enemies. Jesus, in the book of Romans chapter 5, listen to what he says. Verse 7, hardly for a righteous man will someone die, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that not while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God. You see, that's the standard. We're not supposed to strive to be like the people in the world. We're supposed to strive to be like Jesus and God, who loved their enemies enough to die for their enemies. I've heard people say, very piously, it's the principle that Jesus is talking about. Kind of not. Because he actually died on the cross for his enemies, us. Well, you just can't take that, you know, like literally. And yet what does Paul say in the book of 1 Corinthians? I think that God has set us apostles last of all. Being cursed, we bless. Being defamed, we entreat. We are fools for Christ's sake. Would to God I could get out of my own way sometimes and be willing to be a fool for Jesus' sake. Instead of trying to say, because you're out here on this street corner with a sign that says, please give me some money, I have sick kids, I'm out of work. Ha! Yeah, Lazy Bones Jones right there. As opposed to give to anyone that asks of you. Not expecting to get paid back. That's when you become like God. The second temptation. Because social media comes with a level of anonymity, In other words, nobody knows who you really are. You may face the temptation of, I'm going to make a bunch of false representations about myself. I went on the internet, not to scare you, babe, this is just, research for this thing. I went on the internet and just typed in a website for people who are already married and want to have an affair. Page after page. People get online all the time. Pedophiles get online all the time and try to talk the little kids. They're misrepresenting themselves. Knowingly, they're misrepresenting themselves. Many people assume this whole alter ego. You know, Clark Kent, Superman. Well, I may be Clark Kent in real life, but on the internet, I'm Superman. Ain't nothing I can't do. Ain't no problem I can't cure. Like our four services started today. Shan came up to Tommy and I and said, you guys cured the ills of the world or something like that. I thought to myself, no. Well, once I put on my Superman cape tonight, you bet. As Christians, we are not supposed to lie. In the book of Colossians in chapter 3, verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old man with its evil practices. Lying is evil. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Of course, one of the original Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness. And we know the book of Revelation. All liars will end up in the lake of fire, which is the second death. When you go on the internet, man up or woman up and be who you are. Do not misrepresent yourself. Next, we as Christians are not supposed to present a negative influence to the world. The book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 says, but sexual immorality and all uncleanness or covetousness, let us not even be named among you as saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking. And the word there, kind of interesting, it's morologia. Yeah, morologia. That means talking like a moron. That's what the first of the word is. Moro, from moron. That's a Greek word. You talk like some for a fool. Foolish talking, nor jesting, vulgarity, which is not befitting. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. One that's especially important, I think, because it sets a tenor for our lives in general, is the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, in verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. You see somebody that's saying something ungodly, profane, improper. Reprove them. Correct them. Now I'm going to touch on something that my wife wanted to make sure I hit tonight. My wife used to be a physician. Do not believe anything you read on social media about medicine. Just don't do it. There's lots of misrepresentation on social media about medicine. You want to know something about medicine? At least use a relatively good one like WebMD or like Mayo Clinic. There are reputable sources out there. But don't be one of these people that believes that injecting coffee grounds into yourself is somehow going to cure your cancer. Or that having grape-scented candles is going to take away your desire to do wrong. Aromatherapy. The back of your head, there's an area about this big called the medulla oblongata. Handles all your animal functions. The rest of it is to control the fact that you're not an animal. God gave us the ability to think and to reason. Use it. Don't just believe what somebody says because they happen to be your friend or because they happen to be pushing product line X. And so they represent it as being the best thing since sliced toast. Next. And brother right there actually said this last night, and I got thinking about it. That needs to be talked about. We are not supposed to retreat from personal interaction with the world. Much of what happens in social media is you build a wall between yourself and other people. You know. You may do it. Be sitting there, and especially with millennials, you'll see them texting somebody who's right across the table from them. Literally, right there. Rather than talk and have a personal social interaction, they use texting. Well, that's not what Jesus said. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Go into the world. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul makes reference to a letter he had written to the Corinthians earlier. And he says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are moral, or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. Have you ever heard of a monastery? Have you ever heard of an abbess, I guess it is? Place where nuns go and where monks go, because if I use my mouth, if I speak, I might break James chapter 3 and the use of the tongue. Yeah, you might. But Jesus still said, go into all the world and preach, preach, preach. That's verbal. The gospel to every creature. We cannot isolate ourselves to the world. We are obligated by Jesus to go into the world to make a difference. And that means face to face. Notice that in the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul says to the Ephesian elders that he taught them on Facebook and by texting. That's not what it says. It says, I taught you publicly and from house to house. How many people have ever talked with somebody on a phone? It's kind of like when you hang up. What did they mean by that? Whereas if you were with them, looking at them and seeing the smile on their face and the wink of the eye that they did, you'd know, oh, joking. They're joking with me. That is the very reason why emoticons or emojis now exist. There is no context for texting. Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they mad? Are they, you know, upset with me or something? And so you say something totally off the wall, which you probably shouldn't have said anyway, and then at the end of it, you do a little smiley face and a wink. To tell you, I'm just kidding. Notice, please, that Paul sent both letters, that's, you know, kind of like third party, I'm not looking at you in the face, but also went everywhere preaching the gospel. Because face-to-face contact is important. Do not allow yourself to be somebody that hems yourself in until you have a nice little wall built around you and you never have to interact with anybody in a personal way. Now then, how is it that we can use social media? We are in an age of unparalleled communication. I get to decide how I will use that. Will I use that to fulfill the desires of my flesh, or will I use that to bring glory to my God and my Savior? That's my decision. I'm going to try to give you some rules for social media-ing. First of all, use it to edify and exhort people. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. And so is what I'm about to write, is what I'm about to type on this Facebook page or this Snapchat or in my Twitter account or my email that I'm sending or this text, is it a loving statement? Speaking the truth in love. Next, James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to type. Now, I realize that's not what the text says, but when you're dealing with communication on the internet, that's basically what it is. Think about what you're typing before you type it, as you're typing it. Run it through filters. We all know people in our lives, we've met people in our life who have no filters. Whatever pops in their head, pops out their mouth. We've been commanded by God to put filters in place. Be slow to speak. Slow to become angry. 1 Peter chapter 4, 11. If anyone speaks, they should speak as one who is speaking the very words of God. Is what I'm about to press the enter key after typing, is this something that Jesus would say? Does this reflect God in a positive way or a negative way? Am I building up or am I tearing down? Spoke about this just a little bit earlier. You're going to hit it again, different angle. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. How is what I'm about to type going to be interpreted at the other end of the internet? If it's going to be interpreted as, what do they mean by that? Don't push the enter key. It needs to be obvious to them that what you are saying is good for building up and is graceful, filled with grace. When people think of us as Christians, that's the way they ought to think. When they hear us say something or something's reported to them that, you know, somebody else says, well, I was talking to Jim Gordon, this is what he says. They ought to know from the way you do act, the way you do think, the things you do say that, no, he didn't say something like that. That's not the way he talks. He would never say anything like that. Next, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. One of the things we're supposed to do in our lives is answer people's questions about God. You know, when I get everybody's questions answered about God and the gospel and salvation is when I'll push on to trying to answer everybody's questions about the government. You think that's ever going to happen then? Nope. Because even within this text, it says that these people are seeking an answer. Sanctify Christ Jesus in your heart and be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks concerning the hope that's within you. Next, use social media to teach about God and his creation. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 8 and verse 3, or Psalm 8, it says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you're even mindful of him? And the son of man that you consider him, that you care for him. When I look at everything around, it just would be, given all this, how can I even count? Why does God even think about me? I mean, isn't he busy pushing the buttons of the universe? When David wrote that psalm, he didn't have a clue about what the universe really was. He looked up and he saw stars. Saw a bunch of points of light up, and some of them went goofy. Those were planets. The word planet means wanderer in Greek. Planetas. They don't follow the normal rules. So, wow. Huh. That's interesting. But that's all he knew. He had no sense of millions of light years away. No sense of that at all. No sense of the fact that, you know what? In that belt of Orion, that thing that kind of looks like a goofy star, that little smudge, that's actually a whole galaxy of stars. Didn't have a clue about that. The point is that you and I ought to stand a lot more in awe of the fact that God even worries to think about us. But at the same time, we are supposed to teach people about God, about creation. The book of Hebrews says in chapter 11, by faith we believe that the things which are were made from things that did not exist. God spoke and matter came into being. Shan has said at least twice since we've been here that, you know, in God we live and move and have our being. Well, it goes well beyond that. God is the one who has set forth the laws of the universe. It says in the book of Colossians that Jesus is the glue that holds the whole creation together. Scientists are going to be like puppy dogs chasing their tail, going around in circles, trying to find the God particle that explains it all. That's what they're looking for. Over in Europe, they spent gabillions of dollars to build CERN, which is a high energy particle thing, so they could find the boson particle. Ooh, wow, neat. What does that even mean? Somebody says, I don't have a clue what it means. It doesn't matter that I don't have a clue. It only matters that God has a clue, because he's the one that's holding it together. In the book of Romans, in chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for his invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Because knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, neither did they give thanks. But they became vain in the way they thought, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, we will figure it all out. One day we, as mankind, through science, we will figure out the universe. Well, good luck with that. Ponce de Leon thought he'd find a fountain somewhere in southern Florida that would be the fountain of youth. How's that working out for all these old people that are falling apart today? Not real well. It doesn't exist. Because God holds the keys to his creation. Amen. And we are supposed to go out and tell people the God that made the world and everything that's in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth. And he is not served by human hands as though he needs anything, seeing that he himself gives life and breath to all men. God doesn't need us. But boy, we sure think we got the big pants. We need to be teaching the world about the God who created all things. Because what the world has done is exactly what it talks about in the book of Romans. In that day, they led around a calf and said, behold, my God. This is my God. By the way, I'm going to slit its throat and bleed it out and eat it tonight for dinner. You see, that's really a testament to the fact that this isn't my God. I'm in control. All idolatry basically boils down to the point that I am in control. We are supposed to be preaching the invisible God who spoke the universe into existence. And loves you enough that he would send his son to die for your sins. To save them from the fallacies of their own thinking. That's the reason why in that sermon in the book of Acts chapter 17, Paul says that the times of ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he's appointed the day in which he will judge the world. And the proof of that is he resurrected Jesus from the dead. If you think that dying is going to get you out of the judgment, Paul says, go check the grave that Jesus was in. God can take dead flesh and make it live again. You will stand before God. You will receive payment for the deeds done in the body, whether they're good or evil. Next, use the internet, use social media to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. The book of John, chapter 20 and verse 30, John writes, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these books, but these are written that you may believe. Through written words, you can persuade people to believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by leaving, you might have life in his name. One that I like is the book of Hebrews chapter 13. How many think that Hebrews is a pretty hefty book? One of the longer books in the New Testament, isn't it? 13 chapters? Pretty meaty. This is what the writer Hebrews says about the book of Hebrews. But I exhort you, brethren, to bear with this word of exhortation. This word, not this thesis, not this dissertation, not this monster, heavy, really big book that, whoa, man, what in the world is that talking about? Just a word of exhortation. He wrote to them to exhort them. The stuff you write on the internet, make sure that it exhorts people to have faith in Jesus. As Paul will say in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed that you've heard about the stewardship of God's grace which was given me to you, that by revelation was made to know, known to me the mystery about which I've written briefly. In other words, I just finished 3 chapters, Paul says. And if you're slick, if you're smart, if you will read that again and again and again, when you read just Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, you can understand everything that Paul understood. That you, if indeed you have stewardship of God's grace, which is given me to you, that by revelation was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote in brief, so that when you read it, you may understand. In 3 chapters. Think about that. That means all the rest of the chapters in the New Testament are kind of backing just those 3 chapters up. But you can say that virtually about any chapter in the Bible, particularly in the New Covenant scriptures. What I hope this lesson has done is make you think about how I can approach something that's not even talked about in Scripture, social media, and apply principles from the New Testament to help me determine how I could and should use this to the glory of God and the benefit of people that are around me, all people, friend, enemy, all people. For we want what God wants, and God desires that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, one of the most difficult things to do sometimes is to figure out how to apply your word to the situations in our life. But Father, to be honest, most of the time that's not the problem. Most of the time we understand what your word says. It's actually doing the applying where we fall short. Father, help us be people that regardless of what your word says, will humbly submit, Father, to your will. To become just as much like Jesus in every instance, Father, as we can. It's in his name I pray. Amen. If you're here tonight, you realize I've let my online presence get out of control. I've not been doing things that are a glory to God when I go online. Repent. Make up your mind that from now on, I will be a different person online. Unfortunately, as everybody knows, once you hit that enter key, it don't ever come back. So you're going to have to fight the rest of your life that stupid picture you put online or that post that didn't glorify God, instead talking about something lustful according to the works of the flesh. But God doesn't hide our bumps and lumps from us or other people. Paul was the worst sinner that ever lived. I've got the Holy Spirit that says that in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 1. that in me as chief, and he says that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God might show forth all his mercy. When people see the change that occurs in your online presence, they're going to say, wow, they've changed. When you go online and explain to those people who have been reading your posts, I'm not going to be making posts like that anymore. Those did not glorify my Father in heaven. They didn't glorify the one who died for me. From now on, I'm going to live according to him and what he wants. Be consistent then and do it. Maybe you here tonight, you've never even become a Christian. Maybe you're one of those people that does specifically, absolutely, for a purpose, misrepresent yourself online. Repent. God doesn't like liars. Repent. Come to Jesus. Receive the forgiveness of your sins. Be a different kind of person. And then you can get online and talk about the fact that, hallelujah, praise God, thank you very much, I was baptized into Jesus Christ last night. And you won't be seeing this kind of filth and trash out of me anymore. From now on, it's going to be different. If anybody has a need, why don't you come and so we stand and sing the song that was selected.
Have you a heart that